Today being Native American Awareness Sunday, I do want you to know where your money is going. In 2007, in the North Carolina Conference, we collected $19,400. That's what was collected in the North Carolina Conference. And I want you to know that with that money, 50% of it will go to New York. And there it is spent in two different ways. A half of it will go to support the developing of the Native American urban churches. And the other half of that 50% will go to seminary awards to Native Americans who want to go into ministry. And it is traditional. It seems that with Native Americans who go into seminary, it's always almost always a second career. So with that in mind, they're often, you know, married. You know, they have a family. So this scholarship is going to help them in funding their way through seminary. The other 50% of what is collected does stay here in the North Carolina Conference. And if you listen to how this is divided, you can obviously see that when you divide 19,000 in half, we don't have a lot to work with. But we do have a portion that will go to what we call SEJNAM, which is the Southeastern Jurisdiction of the Native American Ministries. And that's ministries in the Southeast. Some of it will go to new church development, and there is a church that is trying to get started. It's called the Circle of Christ, and this is in Raleigh. So we're trying to help that church get on its in its feet. Some of the money will go to for children and youth ministries in our Native American churches, also to develop lay and clergy leadership in the local churches. Now, you know that in the local church, we do have one all Native American church, which is Grace United Methodist Church over on Ireland Drive. Part of it will, of course, go to support the administrative cost of the cooperative ministry, that's office supplies. So, as you can see, as I said, there's not a lot for each ministry, but we do depend on the local churches to help with the ministries in the Native American churches, and we are so grateful to Duke Endowment Grant also gives us some money for the Native American church. So we're grateful to you in helping us to continue these ministries. Our scripture this morning, if you'd like to read with me, I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verses 1 through 15, which is all of chapter 9. It's the motivation for giving. Now, concerning the ministry to the saints, it is unnecessary for me to write to you. For I know your eagerness, and I brag about you to the Macedonians. Archaea has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I sent the brothers, so our boasting about you in the matter would not prove empty, and so you would be prepared, just as I said. For if any Macedonian should come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, would be embarrassed in that situation. Therefore, I consider it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance the generous gift you promised, so that it will be ready as a gift and not an extortion. Remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not out of regret or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. As it is written, He has scattered, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now the one who provides seed for the sower and the bread for food will provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness, as you are enriched in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many acts of thanksgiving to God. Through the proof of this service, they will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with others. And in their prayers for you, they will have deep affection for you because of the surpassing grace of God on you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever just looked up into the heavens and just wondered what it would be like to literally be in the presence of God? I know it's going to be wonderful. I know that it's going to be great. But for now, right now, what do you think it is that God wants us to do in the meantime? How does He want us to live our life? God wants us to live our lives for Him, and to do as much as we can to bring Him glory and to point others to Him. There's nothing else that matters when you compare to His greatness, His glory, His wonder, His beauty, and His grace. What else is there? Why live if I cannot live for Him? Why strive if what I do doesn't glorify Him? Why seek to work and accomplish in this life if it's not for Him? For Him, the sovereign and gracious King. You know, we can accomplish much in this world. We can gather possessions. We can save and we can hoard money. We can raise families. We can show kindness. We can donate money. We can donate our time for the benefit of the hurting. We can give and we can help. Yet, with all that we do, if it's not for God's glory, what good is it? I know it's good to help people, but on that day when we stand before God in judgment, when we're standing in the infinite purity of the Holy Majesty, will those things that we have done going to really matter? Well, it depends. It depends on, why do we do it? What is our motive? Something is good if it's done for the purpose of glorifying God and in the name of Christ. That is, that it's done because it is in a response to the cross and to God's glory. If we feed the poor because it makes us feel better so that we can be recognized, then our reward has already been given. And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5 it says, "And when you pray, you're not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full." Where do you want your reward? Do you want it here on earth, or do you want it one day in glory? If we give money to help others because it's a good thing to do, then we have already received our reward in self-satisfaction. But if we help others because it is what God wants us to do, because we have been redeemed and saved by the blood of Christ, and because we're seeking to demonstrate the goodness of God's grace to others, then that is good work, and our reward is yet to come. God sees what we do. There's nothing that we can do that he doesn't know about. He sees what we do in secret. He knows the motives of our hearts, and he knows if the center of our lives and our deeds is him, or is it on us? The rewards given are often with some motive. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve." In reality, there really isn't nothing that we can do that's pure. We have been touched by sin in all that we do and who we are. Yet God says that we will receive our rewards in heaven. That's where I want mine. I can remember so vividly as a child that was something that my mother always talked to me about, is that, you know, when you do something, be sure that nobody else knows about it. Only you and God, because if you do something and everybody knows about it, then you've already received a reward. I want mine in heaven, not here. This can only be because of his goodness and his grace, and not because of what is in for us or what we do. I see my rewards as God's gift to us, but for a reason. Because he loves us, and because that we can bring glory to him. Notice what it says in a Revelation in chapter 14. It says, "The 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created.'" How glorious an opportunity that we have to be able to bow before the Lord and lay before him all the good things that we have done in his name. In reality, anything good that we do, it's because of God's grace. And he is the one who should get the credit, not us. Give him the glory for all that we do. He is the one who is worthy to receive the glory and the honor and the power. What is the reason for your life? What are the depths of your heart? What do you live for? Who do you live for? Are you storing up rewards here on earth, or are you storing up treasures in heaven? Amen.